Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Well, as I sit in our Empower Radio studios, I am looking beyond the horizon. It is beautiful. Oh my gosh, what a view we have here. I am excited about today because I'm going to talk about something that I really think the universe struggles with this. I think we all have at some point in our life. I can't imagine anyone could not say that they haven't had trouble with this situation before. And what I'm talking about is the art of listening. You know, we talk and talk, and I'm a talker, believe me, chatty, hello. Got my own radio show that should tell you something. But right now as I'm talking, what are you thinking about? Just curious. Think about the last conversation you had before you tuned in to me. And when the person was talking to you, were you truly listening to their words or were you thinking of your response? And I'm bringing this up today because it's been happening a lot lately with me. You know, I was always kind of a people pleaser. I still am. So as when you consider yourself that, it can become an addiction to be a people pleaser, to be a fixer, as my therapist once called me. And when you're that kind of person, you feel the need to help people. But let's think about this. And this is something that's taken me forever to figure out. So somebody comes to me and says they're having a bad day. And they're telling me all the things that went wrong. What I would always do is go into fix mode. Like, what can I say to them right now? Or if they said something, I would immediately think of an example of something in my life that I could compare to what they're going through and say, oh yeah, I remember when that happened to me. This is da 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 da, you know, and then I go right into it. While I think I'm helping them in this sense because I'm thinking, well, this way they're not alone. They don't feel like they're alone in their problem. But technically, am I really listening to them? No. I mean, in a way, and I have compassion and I'm coming from a good place, I think. But as a fixer and a people person and what I consider myself as a good listener, I think I've got a lot of work to do still in my life. So I'm going to, even though we're not in the same room together, I am going to do a little example. So I'm going to tell you a story and then I want you in your mind to think about what you're thinking about. That seems weird. So when I was a young girl, I had this boyfriend that I absolutely adored, and he was what they consider the wrong side of the tracks. My mom and dad did, and I did everything that my parents were like horrified, and to the point that I was going to marry him. And as I was trying to tell my friends who didn't approve of him either, or my parents who absolutely didn't approve, I was just trying to reach out to talk to somebody how I felt. That I saw the good in him and I felt that, yes, I probably could fix him. So I'll be honest there. But people didn't see what I saw. But all I wanted was someone to listen. And all the people that loved me the most did was tell me I was making a grave mistake being with him, that they thought I was smarter than that. And, you know, while they felt they were coming at me with compassion and concern, nobody listened to me. And I thought, what would have happened if someone just sat down and really listened to what I had to say? Because deep down, I knew that, yeah, probably wasn't a good idea to marry this guy. You know, couldn't keep a job, ended up getting into drugs and things like that. But I would have figured that out, but had I had someone to sit down and listen to me instead of comparing and all those things, all it did was push me more towards them. And I wanted to prove everybody wrong. So While I'm telling you this story, I'm just curious what's going through your mind. What came to your mind? What would your response have been? And Remy's getting his microphone out right now. Ooh, this is going to be a doozy. Okay, everybody, here's my producer, Remy. He wants to talk about this. I love it.
It's so funny because the first thing you start doing when you're listening to a story like that is relating it to your own life in your head.
Right.
But again, that's exactly what we're talking about. Are you really listening to empathize is to put yourself in the shoes of the person who's telling that story.
Right.
And instead we sympathize because we relate it to our own
exactly
experiences.
And when you empathize, as you say, and you know, are you really, you know, yes, you're definitely empathizing. We're coming from a good place. There's nothing negative here. But when we say we're, you know, putting ourselves in their shoes, we're also kind of ready to tell them how it feels to have their shoes on and where we walked with them, you know. And so that's where so many times, you know, my daughter's come to me and, you know, she's crying and I realize how much I would tell her, oh yeah, I remember when I was your age and this is what happened. And I'd go on the spiel and I'd look at her and I could see the cloud go over her eyes like, I really don't want to hear about this. It's more like, can you just like, even if you're not interested or you're thinking about something, can you just listen to me for a second? And so how much of what we do with this in regard to listening, and on the flip, you know, the flip of the coin there is when my mother-in-law, she has gone through so much in her life. So when I've literally gone to her with issues, I will say that she waits and she listens and she listens and she listens and then says, well, do you want to hear what I have to say? And I'm like, yeah, because one, she has my permission. She didn't just jump over everything I was saying and saying, oh yeah, that happened to me, or you shouldn't let that happen to you, or this is how you can fix it. She literally listened for a straight 20 minutes as I tell her the story. And then she says, do you want to hear what I have to say? And I think that that is such a beautiful thing because one, it gives me the choice and I could say, no, I just wanted to vent, or yeah, could you dig me out of this hole? You know? So I think that we live in society and, you know, where we believe that fixing and helping and all that, I think there's this fine line of ego. And when someone else is feeling low and you're not, or you've gotten out of a situation that they're telling you they're in, there is a bit of ego involved to say, well, look what I did and it worked out really great. But doesn't mean that that works for that person. So how can we, as a human race, be, as Remy said, empathetic, but in the sense of not, well, sympathetic and empathetic. So how do we mix those two together and make it work?
So a good trick that I like to use is to imagine that the situation is something that you yourself have not gone through, even if you have. So, and here's a good example.
Okay.
I was bartending. I was working at a bar and a woman came in. She looked kind of down and came up to the bar and was trying to think of what she wanted. And I was like, ah, you seem like you're having a pretty bad day. You know, let's turn that around. Let's get you something to drink. She's like, I don't think anything could do that. And then proceeded to tell me how she just came from her young son's funeral.
Oh man.
So again, it's a situation where I can't relate to it personally,
right?
But I can definitely sympathize. Yes. I can even empathize and try and put myself in her shoes, what she might be feeling. And I just sat there and listened to her.
Right.
Because it was obvious she needed to vent. She needed to tell her story. And so I just tried to be as you know, as good a person as I could.
And it's perfect because, you know, most people, especially in those situations, get really uncomfortable. You know, when it comes to death, people don't know what to say. They just don't know what to say. It's awkward. They either try to, like, you know, lighten it or, you know, I'm sorry you feel that way. You know, I just always feel like I step into something sometimes when somebody dies. And really, when you think about it, if you've ever talked to anyone super close or not close, I've asked them, what do you want to hear? I went to my dad's best friend's funeral. And his son, I mean, they're the most sarcastic family in the world. They're so funny. Everything's sarcastic. Everything's a joke. Everything's deflected, right? So I'm like, man, how's this going to work? So I went in and I went to hug him and he said, oh my God, not another hug. And then I said, oh, I'm sorry. And I'm like, well, how are you doing? He goes, well, and those two things, right? A hug and how are you doing? And he said, how the hell you think I'm doing? Oh, man, let's have a party. And so they're just very honest. They're painfully honest to me. And what it did was the next time I went to a funeral, I didn't hug them. I waited for the person to hug me, and they didn't want to. You could tell they were so exhausted from hugging people. Like, it was like they didn't have it in them. And that's a form of listening, too. It's not necessarily just our ears, but our observation. Like, you know how you feel. You're uncomfortable. You go to a funeral, and the first thing you want to do is help the person, right? So you go to hug them. How do you know that that person even is in the space of, I don't want people touching me right now, you know? And then some people, you can tell they just fall in their arms and start crying. But when we really observe from a non-ego place, and when I say ego, I don't mean like, hey, we're cocky and we know everything. Ego is when we're thinking of ourselves, and instead of spiritually thinking, what is this person really feeling? Look at their body. Okay. They're slouching. They're crying. They can't look you in the eye. They're, you know, feeling dark. Like, you noticed that woman who sat at the bar, you know, you picked up right away. So right there, that's a form of empathy and sympathy, but you didn't glob onto her and be like, oh man, yeah, I had a friend who lost a kid once. You know, I mean, you didn't do that.
It's not what she needed. And if you can recognize that, and also, like you said, listening includes listening to somebody's body language.
Yes.
Observing their body language and listening. Are they shrinking away? Do they feel like hugging everybody is just too much now? Or are they the type who, I just need somebody to hold me up and support me and give me a big, long hug? Sometimes that's absolutely needed.
Sure. Yeah. And you just, I mean, I think that's what comes down to the beauty of humanity is like, I don't know where I was. I think I was at a gig or something. And somebody introduced me to someone, and I am a hugger. I am. It's who I am. But you can tell when you shouldn't hug somebody. And I hugged this guy, and he was like so uncomfortable. And I looked at him, I go, I'm sorry. And I apologized to him. And I said, I am a hugger. Doesn't mean everybody is. So I apologize if I got in your space. And he's like, it's okay. But you could tell it wasn't. But the thing is I tried to recognize it and be like, hey, you know, not everybody's me. You know, if my husband, if somebody came up to him and he didn't know him and they hugged him, he'd be like, what the hell are you doing?
My brother does not like hugs. And somebody like
really?
one of his good buddies' girlfriends came up and hugged him from behind. And he's like, you almost got elbowed.
Right?
I think somebody's attacking me.
Right.
He's like, I don't like.
Takes her down, throws her down.
I don't like to be hugged,
ground.
And I definitely don't like to be surprise hugged.
That's even worse.
Not me, I hug everybody. Yeah. Everybody. But again, you have to recognize that just because you're a hugger doesn't mean everybody is, and don't invade people's personal space.
Exactly.
You know, if they want a hug, cool. Mm-hmm. But if not, that's fine.
Yeah. And so there's so many levels of, you know, I think we all get into a space of, you know, we have so much chatter in our head. You know, you wake up, you have your to-do list, you have this, you have your problems you're thinking about. And when you think about kind of then jumping into the world. So on top of that, you're almost desensitized because you're so much in your own head about what's going on that it is hard. But you know, one place I really, and I think knowing that you have bartended, I hope that you would respect this, that I feel bad for wait staff. So when I go to a restaurant and people come up to the table, you know, the waiter or waitress will come up to the table and be like, you know, can I take your order? And it always bothers me, the whether I'm with my family or anything, that people are just as if these people are not human. And it bothers the heck out of me. So the first thing I do is when they say that, I say, hi, what's your name? And all of a sudden they're like, ugh, and I see them come out of this shell that they've put themselves in to protect themselves because people don't see them because they're invisible. They almost make themselves invisible. So when you ask for their name, all of a sudden you see this light come out of them. And so many people don't do that.
Yeah. If I had a penny for every time I said, hi, how are you today? And they said, Jack and Coke. Like, I'd be a rich man. People are just like that, and you have to be able to brace yourself from it in that industry. But
yeah,
what is great is when you say, hi, how are you doing? Somebody's like, I'm great. Thanks for asking. Like, how are you? Just that little casual conversation to get things started is always nicer. So if you're out there listening and you're out at restaurants and stuff like that, you got to listen when somebody asks you a question, the bartender or the server, whoever it is, you know, when they say, hi, how are you today? Any kind of answer is better than whatever your order is.
Yeah.
just a friendly tip.
And especially like even in restaurants where I've gone with people where there's certain people that we go with that are so rude to the staff. And it's just like, you don't even know this person. So how can you be rude? And then on top of it, you're willing to not say hello to them, but then you say, what would you recommend? It's like, okay, wait a minute. You can't have it both ways. You can't expect them to be invisible. And then you want their opinion. And if they give it to you and then you don't like their opinion, then they're invisible again. It's like, it drives me crazy. Sorry, I'm just going on a spiel here. But it goes back to listening, really listening, and which means... And it's work. You have to be present all the time. And it's kind of tough to be present, I think. You know, this morning I woke up and I have like these routines that I kind of force myself. But then sometimes I'm like, I just don't want to do it. So today was one of those days. I definitely want to do yoga every day. It's like my goal. It keeps me centered. But I saw these candles on my table in my dining room. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna do my meditation down here. Like something told me to just do it. So I lit the candles, sat on the couch, drank my coffee, and my mind started going through my day, of course, everything I had to do, and I started getting nervous. And all of a sudden, like wham, this sentence came into my head, and it was purpose instead of panic. And I was like, what? You know, like I was like, what is that? And it was like purpose instead of panic. And I had this really beautiful experience last week. I had a show and a lot of weird things happened, but it was such a spiritual gig for some reason. And my mother-in-law was there and she said, that's the most vulnerable I've ever seen you, which I thought was interesting because I didn't feel that way. I just felt warm and fuzzy and just wanted to share the love. Like that's where my head was. And a man came up to me and he was crying and he said, I got to tell you, your songs are great. Your voice is beautiful. But it's your spirit that really made this work. And it hit me so hard. And so when I heard purpose instead of panic this morning, I thought, you know, I have a bunch of board meetings with new client or clients today. When you go to a board meeting, I usually go in and talk and present. So I felt like this was saying, listen instead of ego, you know, so purpose instead of panic. Panic is when you're worried. And if you're worried, then you're not trusting the process. You're not trusting the universe. You're not trusting God, you know. And so here I have to listen. One, I had to listen to my big fat words coming into my head. That was not me. I was no difference. I don't know if you do, but I do. I just know when it's my brain because that's that one that's like the squirrely, crazy voice. It's like, blah, blah, blah. And then that steady thing that comes in, whether it's your intuition, God, the universe, whatever you want to believe. But there's a form of listening, right? Listen to your intuition. Listen to your gut. How many times do you just like not listen to your gut? You're like, no, I'm good. No, I got this. And meanwhile, your gut's like, no, go away, run the other way. You know, and I've done that a million times. And then after I'm like, I knew that was wrong. I knew I shouldn't do it. Or I knew I shouldn't have gone there or taken this gig or done this, you know, and we're so fearful, I think, a lot. So in a way, it comes down to it, like this control feeling. And even when you're listening to other people, there is some sense of, I can control this situation. Let me show you how. And if you listen to me, I mean, who's to say, like, if you came to me, Remy, with a problem and I was like, okay, I'm gonna solve this for you. How is there any guarantee I'm going to solve your problem?
Who made you the expert?
Exactly. Who made me the expert? And the more we think we're experts, what are we doing to the other person? When I say to you, oh, Remy, you shouldn't do that. Or no, Remy, this is what I think you should do with your life. What does that do to you as a person? It almost belittles you or says that I'm better than you because I can say I know this. But when we think about it, when people, sometimes we help people. And yes, there's some people who will absolutely take all that help and some people that will just be really uncomfortable with it. But some of those people, if you're helping them and you go, yeah, because I did this, they became this. No, because then you're stripping them of their purpose. You're stripping them of what they were supposed to do with their life and let them, I mean, they did it, whatever it was. If you say, you know, you need to, I don't know, I can't even think of an example, but you know, you're trying to tell someone to do something a certain way. Like my husband would do that. He'll be like, well, if you do it this way, it'll work. And then if I do it, he'll be like, see, I told you. Now, what does that make me feel like? That makes me feel like I didn't do it. I just listened to him. He technically did it through my body, basically. It doesn't make me feel better. And it doesn't make me feel like a better person and that I accomplished something. So think about that when we try to, you know, this thing keeps popping up in my head. So apparently I'm supposed to say this. But when my dad died, I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and started all of the organizing for the funeral. Okay. I got up at four. I made a list, had a coffee, meditated, did everything, you know, as the fixer would do. Right. Started calling the florist, the funeral home, the cemetery. By the time my siblings woke up, I had everything done. Now, in my mind, I was saying, look, I got it done. I knew I could do it. I had everything handled. The flowers are this, 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 this. And my older sister got upset with me. And she said, well, I would have liked to have done it. And I said, well, you didn't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I did, you know, and then I got defensive. And I will tell you that I carried this like, poor me, look, I did all this and I did this because I'm capable and they're not and I'm this and I'm that. Maybe they're not capable in my way. And who was I to strip them of that, right? But in my mind, I thought I was doing good. I thought I was helping and I thought I was solving the problems of the world of my father's death. And when I, 2 years later, I look back and technically, yeah, if I would have waited till 9 o'clock till my one sister woke up and noon when my other sister woke up and, you know, all that other stuff, it would have slowed down the process. But who am I to say the process was supposed to be at this certain time, on this certain angle, in this certain way? And it, you know, there's just so much that we have to look at in our own behaviors. I think a lot of times we spend a lot of time looking at other people's behaviors and thinking how we could fix them or, wow, if they did it this way, that'd be better. Or they'd be more successful if they did it this way. If we work on ourselves and we work at listening and really observing why we do what we do, are we coming from an empathetic, sympathetic? Are we coming from ego? Are we coming from, okay, you know, I do believe that my purpose in life, whether it is or not, I hope it is to make people feel light. And I feel like music does that for people. And so I do feel that, but I don't feel that when I do it, it's ego driven. I'm not going up there going, man, I'm going to make him feel better. I'm going to make him feel better. I'm going to make her feel better. No, it's a spiritual thing that I take my ego out and I leave it at the door and then come up to the stage and just get vulnerable or even in this radio station to kind of let the universe work through me, but I still have to listen. So when people, and I have people that, you know, send me messages about my shows and say, this is this and this is that, I really take it to heart what they say, you know, because they are truly listening because they have no idea what I'm about to say. And there's not a two-way conversation. So they're not cutting me off. They're not thinking and saying, oh, but wait, Jill, what about this? You know, they're just listening. So maybe that's what we can do. Maybe that's a practice is we can walk around like we're on a radio show. And when someone's talking to you, pretend that you don't have a mic and you can't, they can't hear you. So all you can do is listen. So today, when you go out, whatever your day is, one, be truly kind to yourself and know that you're a work in progress and know that we can learn every day from something or someone, as long as we're open. Ego is a beautiful thing. It gets us out of bed. It gets us in the cart. You know, we're confident enough to drive on the road, things like that. But spiritually, you'll know the difference. If it's ego, you're stressed, you're a little intense. If it's spiritual, you'll be a little calmer and more at peace. When you're truly listening to someone, you'll feel a peace around you. When you're thinking, I'm going to fix them, you will feel a different kind of energy. So let's all go out there and just open up our ears and open up our hearts and really, really be there for someone today, not to fix them, but just to listen. Thanks so much for listening to me today. Have a wonderful week.